Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church. Amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Just one verse tonight, and then we'll jump to a couple spots, but just a thought in this particular passage. We had spent a good amount of time looking at prayer and different things, and we're going to keep that thought, but just trying to deal with some issues that would at least assist us in our praying, and not only knowing how to pray for ourselves, but then also for others, and then using that as an effective tool. And truly, prayer is part of our armor. It's a tool that God has given to us, and we would be wise to know how to use all the tools in our toolbox, and this is one of those. Let's go ahead and read Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 14. Ecclesiastes 7 and in verse number 14. The Bible says, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him." Interesting verse, amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for tonight. We thank you for this place to meet. And God, the warmth we enjoy here. God, the power's on. Lord, just vehicles got us here. Or some of us even walked over tonight. But God, you've been so faithful to us. And you're so good to us. And we go through all these different varieties of weather. Cold and wind and rain and snow and sleet and then the heat and all that. And God, you've allowed us to live in a day that much of that can be controlled, and such that, God, we've really grown to enjoy it. And we're so grateful for what you've given to us. Lord, we do pray, God, tonight that you be with those that aren't able to be. And I trust that they prayed, and God, you would have them to stay back. And God, I desire that every one of our people in our church are used to praying and used to getting answers from you and then acting upon those things. And so, God, I just trust that tonight, well, each person finds themselves in that place that you would have them to be, not driven by fear, not concerned about things with an ill intent, but just trusting you and walking, God, as you would have us to walk, and being careful to follow your will. And so we trust that that's what's going on tonight. And I pray, God, that you would take now this word and administer to us, help us with it. And we'll thank you, God, for how you work through this service, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14, just the beginning half here to start. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. And so the day of prosperity that's pretty easy. Prosperity here means it's a good day. It's something that your life is happening, that you're faring well. Amen. Where someone says farewell, that's a nice greeting. Not necessarily a departure. It's just it's really a prayerful consideration for one. It's a desire for them. You hope them to fare well. Amen. And we want people to fare well. We want to fare well. We want to do well in the day that we live, in the challenging day that we live. And we do live in a challenging day. There's no doubt about it. But praise the Lord for those days that are prosperous. Praise the Lord for those days that everything seems to work out right. And it's just a good day, and you have a good mindset, good attitude. You know, it just seems like it's just a joyful day that you live. And those are wonderful days. I don't know if you put those against the days of adversity, how many are joyful, how many are adverse, or a mixture of the two, no doubt. But a prosperous day. Joyful just means a day that can be enjoyed, a day that is of ability to cheer you, to enable you to have that day that you recognize as a good day. Amen. And then it says, in the day of adversity, consider. The word adversity here means it's a bad day, right? So the other is a good day. This is a bad day. It's evil day. It's a grief stricken day. Potentially a day that's caused you hurt or harm. A day that's heavy. And I know many of us have gone through those days where you're just heavy. And sometimes you know why, and sometimes you don't really know why, but it's a heavy day. It's a sorrowful day. It's a mournful day. It's a noisome day, like a noisome pestilence where you're just bothered by something. It's a day of misery potentially, but that's what this is referring to, a day of adversity. Something is adverse to you, something that is impeding your ability to progress in a way that you would like to progress. It's an adverse day. The Bible says in the prosperous day, be joyful, enjoy it, amen? And we should enjoy it. Enjoy those good days, amen? It's good to enjoy those days. Shouldn't feel guilty about them. I'm sure it's well balanced out with the days of adversity, amen? And then in the days of adversity, consider. The word consider here means to advise thyself. It means to discern. It means to take a hard look at the details surrounding this particular day. So in every troublesome circumstance, we want to learn something from it. If we don't learn something from it, then we experienced a hardship and we really didn't gain anything from it. You're going to go through that hard circumstance anyway. You might as well learn something while you're there. Amen. And we shouldn't let that day just pass by. And I know some days it just seems like I just need to go to bed. Amen. And wake up. My day will be different. And oftentimes that works. Amen. Some days it seems like nothing's going right. I just need to stop trying anything and just go to bed. Amen. And hopefully it's late enough you could do that. And then you wake up. And sometimes that is necessary. But in all reality, even if that's the case, while you might not be active in what you do, you should at least ponder the day. You should at least look it over, think it through. By the way, that's a good thing to do every day anyway, is as you're getting ready for the nightcap, however that works for you. Not only praying at that point, but then reviewing the day and just looking over the events of it and cataloging those things in your mind and in your heart and just looking it over, praying over, and then that's a great time where as you do that, the highlights, you're praying through, praying for different ones, remembering what took place in the day. But it's always a good thing just to review your day at the end of the day so that you can then not only take account, but then you could act accordingly. And if it was a day of adversity, it's not just a day that we hate. It shouldn't just be a day that we want to see go. It shouldn't be a day that we just complain about, right? We don't want to complain about those adverse days. It's a day that we should consider. We should consider it. Why is it here? What is going on? There's some questions that we should ask in reference to an adverse day. Amen? And so the thought in reference to this consideration here is that you're going to examine it some. I wrote down a couple of questions you can actually ask yourself in reference to an adverse day. Like, why am I in the situation I'm in? Amen? Why is my day difficult? Amen? Could I have done things differently that might have brought about a different result? Sometimes we're having a bad day because of what we've done. Amen? Sometimes we're having a bad day because of nothing that we know of that we did. Amen? But sometimes bad days just come. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust, and that could be a good rain or a bad rain. Amen? We might want to ask questions like, what can I learn from this adverse day? Amen? That's just a good question. And some of these might be rhetorical in the sense that the answer is easy, and others might require some more consideration. How should I respond to this adverse day? Is it fair to my children that I'm a bear today because my day is going bad? Amen? I don't know. Maybe they're the problem. I don't know. But those are questions to ask. Amen? Just ask yourself, consider, how should I respond to it? Should I be sarcastic with people? Should I be short? Should I be upset? Should I be angry? Should I be mournful? Should I spend time in prayer? A whole host of things. Should I repent? Was there something there that I needed to get right with God? Is my day going like it's going because of how I've been living? I've been living in a way that I knew was contrary to God, and now all of a sudden my life is being turned upside down, and the way of the transgressor we know is hard. And so again, just considering. And the whole thought of this text, I think, and we'll conclude with this thought, and I'll mention it a couple times throughout the sermon, is that it helps us to understand how active God really is in our day-to-day lives. Amen? And everything happens for a reason. There's a reason and a cause and effect in everything. Amen? Don't buy the world's thought that you know, nothing has cause and effect. It's just we're a product of happenstance. And while God does say that time and chance happens to them all, the majority of our whole course in life is absolutely altered by the number one determining factor of our life, and that's us. The decisions that we make, the choices that we make, the directions that we go, what we choose to do, what we choose not to do, where we choose to be, where we choose not to be. All those things go in and affect what our kind of our day we're going to have. Amen. Last night we were at dinner and Dana mentioned wanting to visit that one visiting couple that I had visited. And I had thought about that, but for whatever reason, I just wasn't thinking about it for last night. And as soon as she said that, I'm like, yeah, man, that's what we need to do. And so we did. But you know, that one little suggestion by Dana affected our evening. And we stood at this guy's doorstep for a couple hours, amen, hour and 45 minutes or so outside. And it was great, amen. I'm glad it was 52 degrees last night and not 32, amen. But the point is that all these things affect us. They affect where we go. And by the way, when we got done talking to him, that affected my evening. It was an amazing conversation. It was glorious. And just being there to be a help. So that affected, you know, my thought process was towards the evening. So again, just looking at these things, how should I respond to it? And then, am I blaming somebody else for my circumstances, or am I accepting responsibility for them? If you're in the mindset of blaming somebody for why your life is what it is, there's no end to that. I mean, you could always tag somebody with having part in why your life is adverse or your day is adverse. But the reality is that nobody can make your day bad. You know, no matter what happens in your day, you make that choice on how you're going to respond to it. And you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be in a miserable mindset because somebody else said something to you that you didn't like, or someone else did something to you that you don't like, or on and on and on, or maybe someone sets you up to fail. Maybe at work you have a superior or something that's always making your life hard. I mean, we can focus on that, or you can say no matter what the circumstance, there is a right way to respond to this, and you can learn from those times. So, days of prosperity, days of adversity. God, the Bible says in the second part of this verse, Ecclesiastes 7:14, God also has set the one over against the other. It's a very interesting part of this passage. So in other words, the good days and the adverse days, man, they're right next to each other. And it's amazing how today can be an amazing day. And all you do is go to bed. And then you wake up. And for whatever reason, it's a really hard day. It's amazing how that works. You know, I went through a stint a long time ago. And I used to think, man, if I could just stop sleeping, if I could just stop going to bed, because it seemed like by the end of the day, okay, it's going good now. Man, I go to bed and get up, and it was like horrible all over again, you know? And so I thought, man, if I could just stop sleeping, it would all be good, amen? No, that would have its own set of issues. But again, it's amazing how day by day, one day and the next day, all that, how different they can be, and it seems like nothing really changed. But something changed, amen? Something changed, even if it's just the spiritual realm behind the scenes changed. Something changed, and as such, our day also changes, amen? It says this, to the end. So in other words, there's a purpose behind it. So God also has set the one over against the other to the end that. And so he's showing here kind of a culminating phrase there, to the end that man should find nothing after him. It's an interesting phrase, but what I believe what this means is the fact that the ebb and flow of good days and bad days, it keeps us from being able to find that firm footing in our life based solely upon circumstance. And nobody goes through life with all good days. Nobody. I think some people that I know do go through life with all bad days, amen. That's their fault. But in all reality, they don't have all bad days either, amen. And so if our hope and trust and expectation is based on circumstance, then just based on how God made it, we're going to have a very hard life, amen. And so the point is that God doesn't want our hope and our expectation and our foundation to be founded upon our days, the kind of day we're having, on our success or on something we've built up. God wants us to be uneasy enough in life that ultimately we need him. Amen? You say, well, that's horrible. That means that he's created this so that we have to run to him. Well, it's good for us to run to him because he has some things that we need. And so he has created an environment ultimately. Yes, praise the Lord, he's at the top of that. And yes, he does receive the praise and the glory, but we need him. We need that stability. He is the anchor of our soul. Amen. And so that's how this is made. This is how God has created this. In our troubled, filled world, God does not want our stability to be in the issues of life, but in our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we look at others, and there's some good songs written about this but in our hymn book, but we look at others and we think that because they have some things that we don't, that they don't have problems. I know sometimes people tend to think that my issue is that if I just had more money, all my problems would be solved. The reality is, no, that's just, it may solve some, but it's going to create some too. And so even the most wealthy of people, they still have bad days. They have a lot of bad days. If their hope and trust is in money, they have a lot of bad days, right? And so the point is that we want to be careful that we're not looking at others and then growing discontent because we perceive that somebody else has more a more volume of good days than we do, right? We don't want to get to that place that we are comparing ourselves among ourselves, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that that's not wise. And it's not wise because everybody's lives are different. There's a lot of similarities, but everybody's lives ultimately are different. And your set of circumstances are not my set of circumstances. Amen? And my set of circumstances aren't yours. So we can't compare each other in that regard. No matter who we are, we just even in an individual family, we're always careful as parents how we compare our children. And in reality, we don't compare our children. I believe every one of our children are individuals, and they all have strengths, they all have weaknesses, they all have needs. And I love every one of my children the same, and I never compare them amongst each other and say, well, so the other one's better. And if we do, it's nothing like that we're consistent in, because it's not a focus. It's just not, amen? The fact that some are better than others and all that, it's just the way it is. That's how things are. But I never want one of my children to think, yeah, my mom and dad think I'm the dumb one. I mean, that'd be horrible, amen? Or that's the poor little one that wasn't blessed by God. And so, we make do with them, but, they're just dragging them along. I hope one day they do something with themselves, amen? I mean, we don't ever do that, amen, because that's setting them up for failure. And I praise the Lord that God doesn't do that to us. So he is not treating us that way. You are an individual, and your life is individualistic under the sight of God, and that your life is such that it can be amazing, it can be wonderful, and nobody else can stop that from happening ultimately, because it's about your relationship with God. Our stability and our hope and our whole expectation of life is not predicated upon others. It's predicated upon Christ. And Christ has already came and said that he's made me and you more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. He's promised that no matter what we go through, that he is going to use that situation for my good. He's already promised that as a believer. Now, if you're lost, that's a different circumstance. You need to be born again. And then once you have a heavenly father, he is going to work. It doesn't matter what we bring to the table. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how smart we are, what our intellect is, or what our IQ is, or EQ. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much money we have in the bank. It doesn't matter what our skill set is. You're made in the image of God, every one of us, amen? And God has a place for you. And there are going to be days that seemingly to you, from your perspective, seem to be really good days. And you're going to have other days that seem to be really bad days. But from God's perspective, I would venture to say he is probably more excited about the bad days that we experience than he is the good days, because it's those bad days that we can consider, that we can grow. We really don't grow much on the mountain. We enjoy the mountain. We enjoy those mountaintop experiences, enjoy those times, and rest in it, get some refreshment in those times. But the time of growth that we experience, the times that we learn and grow and draw nigh to God the most, is in the hard days. It's in the valley days. Amen. And so those shouldn't be, that's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall in the diverse temptations, because there's some joyous things that take place on those hard days. Amen. We just got to be careful that we don't follow the way of the world and lament over the bad days and get all upset and become a complainer in the bad days. God has purpose for us in those bad days. Turn over to Job 23. Job 23. Boy, if there's one guy that had a series of bad days, amen, that we could point to, there's a few of them in the Word of God, but I don't think anybody quite compares to what Job went through, amen. I mean, if we're gonna try to explain to somebody how bad it can get, we're gonna go to the book of Job, right? And in the midst of this, towards the latter end of all his quote unquote friends speaking, he then speaks in chapter 23. And I want you to just think through from me setting up the night here on Ecclesiastes 7:14 with good days, bad days, and the fact that we're supposed to consider in our bad days. Can I say Job was doing some considering, and he was considering God, and he was considering God's part in his life through what he was going through. And there's a lot in the book of Job, but this particular chapter really grabs some things that'll really help us on this. But look at Job 23, verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." By the way, he's talking about God. He is going through such a hard time. He's like, man, I want to find God. I want to find where he is. I want to go to his seat. I want to have a conversation with God. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Verse number 4. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Now, this is an interesting passage because he's basically, it's almost like he's talking to himself here. And I don't know that he's really talking to his friends as much as he is just reasoning through. And we do this when we reason through and we'll say some things and kind of back up. And so in a sense, it's kind of hard to follow. But if you kind of get what he's gone through, you pick it up, amen. Verse number 6. Will he plead against me with his great power? What's the next word? No. That's pretty neat. I don't know if you've ever had times like this where you are pouring your heart out to God and you say stuff like he did that you can't, he's not evident. You want to find him. You want to lay out your case before him. You want to have that opportunity and all that. And then verse 6 kicks in and says, will he plead against me with his great power? The answer is no. Praise God for that. Aren't you glad that God is restrained in dealing with us? He's not going to plead against us. It's like if you're watching a little two-year-old, as trying as that can be. Amen? If you pled against that two-year-old with your great power, what would happen to that two-year-old? He'd be dead, right? You could squash him. I know there are some two-year-olds might give you a run for your money. But at the end of the day, you are strong enough, you are able enough that you, with your mighty power, you could hurt that child. And so Job here is saying, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. He says he's not going to plead against me with his power. He instead will use his power to strengthen me. Amen? It's amazing how this turns. And it says in verse 7 there, where the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. Here in Job 23 in verses 7 through 7 and 8, it's talking about how no matter what he does, and it says there the righteous might dispute with him at his seat where he is sitting as a judge, and all these things, that there would be a dispute. Then it says, should I be delivered forever from my judge? And the reality is, no, you don't need delivered from your judge. You need help from your judge. And that's kind of the transition that we see here. And then he talks about, if I behold, I go forward. He's not there. Backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself in the right hand, that I cannot see him. The reality is, a lot of times in life, especially on those adverse days that we talked about in Ecclesiastes 7:14, it's on those adverse days. What really makes those days the hardest is the fact that sometimes we just don't know what to do. We don't know the direction to take, and we're just crying out for direction, and we feel like no matter what we do, we're not connecting there with God. Note this next verse, verse 10. Considering again who's writing this, being Job. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. As hard as this conversation as Job is having with the Lord here, at the end of the day, he knows, is he going to use his strength against me? No. Instead, he's going to use his strength to strengthen me. He's going to use his strength to help me. Am I at times not going to be able to find him? I'm going to look for it? Yes. But even when that is the case, I know this. He knows the way that I take. And I know that through him, no matter what that way is, as his child, I shall come forth as gold. If that don't cheer you up a little bit on a bad day, I don't know what will. Amen. Verse number 11. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. By the way, that's our part. Don't lose ground with the Lord. Amen. Verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I would encourage you, if you've made ground serving the Lord, if you made ground, if you've matured, don't slide back. Don't become lazy. Don't lose ground with the Lord. Don't grow complacent. Build precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Don't let circumstances of life derail your life that God has called you to. Don't let it happen. Stay faithful. Stay where you need to. Stay that course. Amen. Don't let circumstance become an excuse and a reason for you to lay out on God. Amen. He says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job is clinging to the words of God. Job is clinging to what he knows to be true from God. In his time of adversity, he is not running from God. He is not blaming God. He wants to have a conversation, no doubt, amen. He wants to plead his cause. He wants answers for sure, but he's not blaming God. And can I say, he's not blaming his friends. He's not blaming others. He does allow the word of God to become circumspect and judge him. And at the latter end, no doubt that truly takes place. But in verse 13, he says this, but he is in one mind, and who can turn him? What that means is this, no matter what you're going through, no matter how much you plead, you're not going to change God. I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've begged God to change. Not in so many words, but in my request, that's what I was asking. Right? God, I'm hurting. This is what I need from you right now. But for him to give that, he'd have to change. He'd have to go against his own word. Maybe to me, maybe not, but to somebody else for sure. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes our request of God is not a valid request because it's not according to his word. Amen. And so we see that here. He says that he's not going to change his mind. He's in one mind. And who can turn him? Nobody. And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. He's not going to become different so that we can have our request. No, he's going to answer in his consistency, answer in his righteousness. Verse number 14. And by the way, us learning to appreciate that about him is very important. I am so glad that the God I serve changeth not. I'm so glad that the God I serve, he's not revising his word. I'm so glad that the God I serve, that his word doesn't just work for me, it works for all. His promises aren't just for me, it's for all. I am not special in his eyes to the exclusion of everybody else. No matter who I'm talking about, they're just as open to the promises of God. God is of no, he's no respecter of persons. And while in our trouble, we may not like that then, but if we'll stop and consider, and if we'll think through it, we'll appreciate that about God. Amen? That's what this is all about. In our time of adversity, don't just real quick jump to an answer. Don't just real quick, you know, jump to conclusion and slander and demean and set a course that's going to hurt you in the end. No, stop. Stop and consider. Stop and prayerfully consider and think through what you're doing. Oh, that youth could learn that young. Amen. I say that because those of us that are old wish we would have learned it younger. And probably all of us probably still need to learn a little better, amen? Oh, that we could learn how to reason with God and consider through things, amen? Before we do things and yet also in the day of adversity. Notice in verse 14 it says, "For he performeth the thing that is appointed." What's the next two words? For me. Do you realize there are things appointed for you? There are things appointed for me from God. We talk about this in reference to our death, right? That we have a day appointed. There's a day. But do you realize there are certain things in our lives that we're appointed to? And you're not going to change that. If you're having a bad day because you don't like the direction God has for your life, you're going to have a lot of bad days. You can fight against it all you want. If you're a child of God, he has full right to your life. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's, I believe it says. So, if we fight against God and God's direction for our life and it's an appointed direction, good luck. And even that won't help you. Amen? Rather, consider it. God, why is this going on in my life? What is going on in my life? And isolate from you those areas that you've already told God that no matter what, God, I'm going this direction. You can say that, but as you consider, that might not have been a wise statement. Does that make sense? And notice what it says here. It says, "And many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider." Troubled. When we realize really what's going on behind the scenes and how much God is involved in our lives, if you're honest, it's troubling. Comforting? Yes, at times. But also troublesome. Because we do have an appointed direction for our life, a course for our life, and we don't get to choose that ultimately. And when we go adverse to it, God does have a way of bringing us back. The power of God in our lives at times can be troubling to us. Think about this. Job, at this point, I think realized what I'm going through was appointed by God. Anybody here signing up for Job's life? Anybody here troubled? Troubled at the thought of being appointed to the same life? Well, sure. Any parent would be. So you might not understand the troublesome side of that, but ultimately we don't know what we're appointed to. But we do know this, that when I am tried, I will come forth as gold. And is Job a picture of that? Absolutely. Look at verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft. What does that mean? It means he knows how to work on us until all that pride's gone and we're just mush before him. That our stiff-necked and hard heart and forceful direction and on in reference to God, God knows how to deal with that. And at the end of the day, he softens us. Amen. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty, there it is again, troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. I think if Job could have chosen, Job would have rather died than go through what he went through. And he said it. He would have rather have died than to go through this. And that was troubling to him. Turn over to Isaiah real quick. Isaiah. Isaiah's beginning of his message to Israel. Isaiah chapter 1 verses 2 and 3. And Israel was not close with God. They weren't close with God. They were far from God. And we find that the different prophets were raised up. Isaiah, right at the tail end of Israel's existence, the northern kingdom. And then, of course, towards the latter end of Judah's time frame there before they got removed to captivity. They were wicked. They had gone astray. And this is what God said through Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. He said, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. What weren't they considering? They weren't considering God as part of the equation. They weren't including God in the just their whole mental thought process of the cause and effect of life. And can I say today, that is a huge problem today in our land as a whole. All these things that are being talked about, people are not considering God as if he is a real, active, a present part of everyday life. They have discounted him at every point. They don't care if they blaspheme his holy name and have ridiculous things brought forth that absolutely not only make no sense just in reference to society, but are a slap in the face to Almighty God. And we would expect that from the world, but even a lot that profess Christ are doing the same thing. And they are just not considering God in their everyday decisions, what they think, what they do, where they go, how there was a day that people were called God-fearers. Amen. They made decisions with God in mind. They charted a course and a path with the reality that God is involved in my life. Amen. Well, Israel, definitely at this point, they were not God-fearers. Lastly, we're just going to look at a couple verses here. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole heart is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate. It's overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. What he's saying is this, Israel, look around at what's going on. He says, just look around. Look at the condition of your children. Look at the condition of your lands. Look at the condition of your vineyards. Look at the condition of everything. Look at it all. It's being utterly destroyed. Have you considered? That's what he's saying to Israel. It says in verse number 10, I'm sorry, verse number 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? He says to Israel, with everything going on, he's like, you don't consider me in anything. And he says, why are you still sacrificing? I mean, in the temple, you got Levi, the tribe of Levi. Why? Why? That'd be like for us saying, yeah, you go to church, but the rest of your life, you're living like a heathen. You're living like there's no God, you know, 164 hours of the week, and the 4 hours you have for church, you go that. Why? Why are you sacrificing like that if the rest of your time you're going to live like that, like the heathen, like the devil? That's what he's saying to Israel in their own context. Amen. He says in verse number 11, he says, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Let us learn to consider God in reference to the issues of life, in light of God's word, in light of God's part in our lives. We are those that claim Christ as our Savior. We are those that say we are believers in Him and His Word. We are those that have claimed to call upon Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, repenting of our sin, confessing Him, claiming to be a part of God's body here. Let us consider, not just in these walls we're here, praise God for that, but let us consider God in every other aspect of our life. And when we're going through those hard times, let us consider. Let us not just blame others and dismiss this and all that. Israel did that. They had all this trouble, all that going on. And God simply said, consider it. The reason you're going through what you're going through is because of how you have alienated me from your everyday life. That's what he said. Consider. Our text simply said, Ecclesiastes 7:14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Enjoy it. Things are going good in a right way, of course. Enjoy it. But in the day of adversity, consider. Just consider it. Take account. Get alone with God. Get close to God. Ask God His opinion. Are you where you need to be with Him? Is your direction charted as He has directed? Consider it. And if you don't, it just gets harder and harder, because God has appointed something for you. And ultimately, it will be fulfilled. That's the direction God's moving us as His children. That's a blessing. Amen. Having a good day? Man, you enjoy it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's your portion. Having a hard day? Don't blame others. Don't miss the purpose. Don't miss what God has for you in it. You consider it in reference to your relationship with God and God's purpose and plan for your life. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. And Lord, in reference to prayer, this is vital. Your activity in our lives is far more than we want to even consider. In Job's consideration of it, he said it troubled him. And God, I would imagine that if we were able to see behind the scenes that what goes on in the spiritual realm around us, God, it would trouble us too. And so, God, help us to live in light of the reality of Thy presence in our lives and Your desire for our lives. And I'm so grateful, as Joe mentioned, Lord, that Your strength is not against us. God, You're not our adversary. You're not our foe. You're not our accuser. You are our helper. And You take Your strength not to hurt, but to help. And God, You are an ever-present help in time of need. And in the midst of all that, yet still, it's appointed for us to go through some things that are not enjoyable for the flesh or for us at the present time. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto those that are exercised thereby. God, help us not to be, as the world is, a complainer. God, instead, help us just to consider and to know that at the end of the day, we know, as Job said, when we're tried, we shall come forth as gold. Thank You, Father, for that passage. Thank You for that promise. Help us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name.